views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Oh, welcome to Voices of Women. Here we are again, another Friday. I'm excited because I'm beginning my interviews with the Woman of Wisdom presenters that we're bringing in February. And so that's just always great for me. I'd love to introduce you to these amazing women who are sharing their gifts in Seattle in February at our conference. I'm going to be speaking with Lisa Markman and Jerry Ebelarosa Tunnel, and I'm going to have to find out from her how she really says her last name. Apologize about that. So first we have Lisa Markman. And we're going to be talking about mastering the art of influence. Lisa is an energetic leader, coach, speaker, facilitator, and consultant in business, nonprofit, and professional development. She's the founder of Jigsaw Solutions and co-founder of the Alliance of Women-Owned Businesses. And she's going to give a workshop on Powerfully, Positively Influential on Sunday, February 14th at the conference. So welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Yes. Well, first, I always start off with people's stories. You know, what inspired you to get into this line of work of influencing women and helping them?
Well, I've been an entrepreneur all of my life, and I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. And so, but I also grew up with the example of helping other people. And so I've been a volunteer all of my life. And at some point in time, I realized I really liked what was happening in the nonprofit arena as a volunteer, and there was a lot of good positive things there that I wanted to bring into the business world. And so I started really studying nonprofits and put a focus on there. And I started working more and more with women. And I've always volunteered in women-serving organizations or youth-serving organizations. And so that kind of got me started on working more specifically with women and empowering women. I had the great advantage in 2010 of co-founding the Alliance of Women-Owned Businesses, which is a South and West Puget Sound area membership organization that helps women who own their own businesses to get to the next level, whatever that means for them in being a business owner. And so through this focus on bringing the best of nonprofit into the business world, I've really gotten in front of and been able to help and impact women, especially women entrepreneurs, and it's been just highly rewarding for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting you say, because I think also works the other way of for-profit businesses, nonprofits learning from for-profit business, you know, there's advantages for both and probably disadvantages for both, but let's talk about what helped you personally to grow your influence, because that's the topic, you know, how to be influential.
Yeah, that was it's been an interesting journey, because I've been a certified coach since the early 2000s, and I got a second certification 3 years ago in high performance coaching. And part of the component of coming into high performance, which is being able to sustain your levels of performance over the long term rather than having peak performance and then the valleys that come after the peaks. And influence was part of this component of this coaching program. And I was astounded to begin to study it and realize I knew intuitively, I knew that I had influence, but I had not until that point considered myself to be an influential person or a person of influence. And then the more I talked about it with other women, I realized that that was a common thing, is that women are not, they're not prone to consider themselves to be influential, and we have this tenuous relationship with the concept of influence. And so as I began to work on it myself and realize how much that empowered me and helped me to serve better out in the world, I really wanted to work with women on empowering them in the same way.
Mm-hmm. So this leads me to think, you know, what? How do you define being influential?
That's a good question. I think everybody defines it differently, but influence, it's by definition, is the capacity to affect a change in character or behavior. And so when you look at it that way, it's quite simple. And all of us are natural influencers, and women especially are very natural influencers because they can be very nurturing and they generally want to help people. I mean, all people want to help people, but I think women have this heart for lifting others up. And so we all naturally can affect the character or the behavior of others. And there's several ways that we go about doing that. But that's basically the definition. And part of this work that I do with women is demystifying what being influential really is.
And as you're talking, it makes me think it's also very individual for each person, how they might go about that, or what gifts they have to offer to others in being influential.
Absolutely, and it's important to become more conscious of that. And if you want to increase your ability to be influential, one step is to kind of map that out. What does that look like, and how do you want to go about doing that?
And does that relate to what people, like how they might think, how they'd like to change something or change the, you know, there's that lofty thing of change the world. I want to change the world. But we can take that into smaller steps of, you know, I want to make an impact. I want to change how I'm doing business with other people. I want to change how it is in my company, you know, change, you know, so is there anything that you have to offer about that?
Yes, and working with as many clients as I have had over the years, the thing that all of them, everyone, have in common is at some point, as we're trying to figure out what their vision is and what they want to do and what their organization or their business is about, it all comes down to them saying, I just really want to help people and do whatever that is. And so to bring influence into that equation to serve, because that's what helping people is, you're serving them, is to start thinking about what the three keys of influence are and how you can consciously apply them. So one of them is to be an example. And if you think of anybody in your life that has positively influenced you, you're going to realize that they were an example for you. They were a role model, right? And so that's one of the first ways that somebody can unlock that first key of thinking about what kind of example do they really want to be in the world, and specifically to the people that they want to influence. And what does that look like? And what are those core values? And are they exemplifying that regularly and purposefully? So that's one of the first keys of influence that we discuss.
Mm-hmm. And so that takes a lot of self-examination too, of you know, how you are with other people. You know, how to be an example, you have to kind of toe the line. You know, you've got to be true to yourself and be honest. And is there anything more that you can add about that?
You've got to walk your talk.
Yeah.
And not be fearful of doing that. And that's one of the ways that I help women step into that power, because women have a little bit different relationship oftentimes. And I'm talking in generalizations here, but it's been my experience that, you know, to say you need to be an example to somebody, you need to step into that role model place, that mentoring place, in order to help affect change in others, that can be somewhat intimidating because it feels like a powerful thing to do. And so part of it is stepping into your power and realizing every person has a unique gift to give. And it's a wonderful thing to give that who you are and what you stand for and what you believe in. And you're not being overpowering, you're just being powerful and helpful, and you're being a wonderful role model. And that's a lovely gift to give to others. And then the other two keys of influence, the second being challenging, being a person who challenges somebody to step up their game or to rise to affect that change in character or behavior we talked about. If you think about role models in your life or people who were influential, I bet you would identify that they challenged you. They held a bar that was high, that encouraged you to hit that mark, and you probably rose higher than you would have if you didn't have that challenge. Women have sometimes a problem issuing a challenge,
it's so important,
right?
To even challenge ourselves, you know, to be challenged by role models we have for ourselves, challenge ourselves, and then you kind of have to learn how to challenge others, too, by role modeling that. Well, but this is Christine, and you're listening to Voices of Women, and we're going to come back and talk more with Lisa Markman.
The Women of Wisdom Fall Harvest Festival is coming up right around the corner on October 24th from 10:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. with free admission located at the North Seattle Community College in the Conference Center. Festivities include a silent auction, healers, educational booths, delicious food, and a variety of vendors. You won't want to miss this fun-filled event. For more information, visit womenofwisdom.org, and we'll see you there.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
Are you interested in schools that inspire, excite, and encourage our kids to step beyond what they thought was possible? The Access Possibility School is enrolling now. Students in grades K through 8 are welcome to our virtual classroom. Classes start September 8th. For more information about the Access approach, teachers, enrollment, and what makes us different, visit accesspossibilitieschool.com. That's accesspossibilitieschool.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. I am super excited about the Women of Wisdom Fall Harvest Festival coming in October. For those of you out there, if you're a healer, vendor, reader, or earth-friendly educational group seeking to participate in this fall event, well, you get to reserve your space now. To participate in this event, email wow@womenofwisdom.org. All right, everybody, we'll see you there.
Join Chris Danis for the 2015 Women of Wisdom Fall Harvest Festival, Saturday, October 24th, 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stanis, and I'm talking with Lisa Markman, who's a presenter at our WOW conference coming up in February. So we were talking about role models and being a challenger. So I'm curious for yourself, who is a role model for you?
Well, when I first started doing this work and was asked that question, and every time I'm asked that question, the person that leaps to my mind is a man named Lou, who was my first boss in my first full-time position back in my early 20s. And he had such a tremendous impact on me because, first of all, he was a phenomenal role model. He was a fearless entrepreneurial spirit, and he wasn't afraid to make mistakes, and he challenged everybody under him to come up and be that same way too. And so he taught me so much in the 5 years that I worked for him, but even though it's been over 20 years, I still, when I get into a situation, will ask myself, what would Lou do? And my clients still get to hear Louisms because he was such an example of a positively influential person, and he exemplifies all of the three keys of influence that I work with my clients on. And so, first of all, he was a wonderful role model. Secondly, he set the bar so high for me that there were many times I had no idea how I was going to hit it, but I did. And then I learned that I could do that, and it took away a lot of the fear of challenges. And to me, that was a tremendous gift. And that's how I like to encourage women to think about issuing challenges, is that it's really a gift that you give somebody to offer them a pathway to expansion. And you already see them as being able to reach that bar, to reach that challenge and overcome it. And by having that vision for them, you give them that gift and that space to create in. So I think to me that makes it easier to grasp issuing a challenge, because women, I think we were talking about that a little bit, they look at issuing challenges as being a conflict situation. And I like to have them look at it as being a gift kind of situation.
Well, give us an example of how you might challenge someone.
Well, if you are wanting them, or they're wanting even, to reach a goal, then your job in challenging them is first to see them already reaching that goal and to show them that they have everything already that they need inside them somewhere to get there, and that you believe 110% that they can do that, and you're not going to give up on them during those times in which they will fail or make mistakes, because that will happen. And so part of it is also allowing them to make mistakes along that path. So issuing a challenge can be just simply saying, I know that you can get to where you want to go, and I'm going to hold you to getting there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm laughing because my husband, he wants me to challenge him. When I ask him to do something, he wants me to say, I bet you can't do this. Because then he can say, oh, I can do this, which is not necessarily the positive way of doing it, but it's a little game we play.
Right. And I think that if when you're working with different people, you need to know what motivates them to rise to the occasion. So, and I think that's why women are natural influencers, because they are actually natural challengers, because they know what makes people tick. And so you know that about your husband, and he knows that about himself, and so that's an agreement you have. And that's part of issuing a challenge, is to come into agreement with the person to know what's going to motivate them. That type of challenge might not motivate another person.
Oh, yeah, probably not. Well, you said there was three keys. What is the third key?
So the third key is people of influence, in order to affect that change that we've talked about, teach people how to think. And this one, it was a big aha for me, because you don't really stop and consider how you learn to think about things the way you think about them. But when you look at somebody who's positively influenced your life, like I look at my mentor, Lou, he taught me how to think about so many things. So it could be that you're teaching somebody how to think just about a worldview. Here's my view. Here's my belief system. You know, enter into it and see how that works for you. Or it might be as simple as here's a step-by-step method on how to do something. And that gives somebody a framework to know how to think about that particular topic. So to be more positively influential, you really need to be somewhat overt and say, you know, think about it this way. Here's how I look at it. You might want to consider that. And if you think about your conversations and your interactions with people, you realize that people do teach you how to think about stuff. You don't just come to it completely naturally. You might read something or have an interaction with somebody, and then it shifts how you think about that particular topic. So if you want to consciously be influential, you need to think about how you teach people how to think. So when you put all those three together, you be a role model that walks their talk. You challenge people to rise up to the level that you know that they can be and create that change that you're trying to create. And then you teach them how to think about doing that. What's the pathway? How do you get from A to Z? And if you do those three things, you have the keys to being positively influential.
Mm-hmm. I think too, and that how to think is also, you know, how to be creative in your thinking and how to think outside the box. Because sometimes we can get very linear about it and we get stuck in our narrow vision of how we think to, you know, to expand that to other views.
Exactly. And that's a challenge in and of itself. I'm going to challenge you to think about this differently. And that's what creates change.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think women need to let go of in order to increase how we influence?
So letting go of things that no longer serve us is a very integral part of this becoming more influential. And one of the things that I find that many women need to let go of is their resistance to the power of this. Some women are very worried about being powerful because many women see that as being masculine or overly masculine or pushy or coming from ego. And none of that is the case. When being powerful is being a positive influence, and stepping into your power is, again, a great gift that you can give to others and to the world and to yourself. So one of the things we work on through this process is letting go of that power resistance. And just those kind of negative thoughts around some of these topics, the negative thoughts about issuing challenges and the negative thoughts about, you know, am I really an influential person and how do I feel about that? Usually when I start in a workshop, we assess where the participants feel they are in their levels of influence. And then at the end, we go back and say, have you increased your influence or how has that changed? And my experience with it is that women initially assess themselves lower than where they end up being. And part of it is because of what they learn, but the other part of it is just they become more comfortable with the idea of being influential and they realize they always have been. Mm-hmm. So it's about letting go of our old belief systems.
And maybe, like you say, you're about the male influence, but the doing power over. I mean, we see that so much in, politics and corporations, that sense of power. We don't want to be that. Women don't want to be that. Although we do see women in those roles, too. But that's, you know, so talk a little bit about the difference between men and women on this topic of influence.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I was kind of surprised by this when I first started doing workshops and live events with this, is men just don't have this shaky discomfort with even the term influence. I think they're given a lot different language growing up that allows them to embrace their own power and being influential. And they don't associate that term with some of the things you just talked about, you know, being pushy or not being in their feminine or, you know, that type of thing. They don't worry about that like women do. So I've had women say, I know I want to be more influential, but it just feels uncomfortable to me. And so we talk about how, you know, women, as I've said, are very naturally influential, and you really don't have to change who you are. It's mostly you have to change how you think about it and just be more conscious about how you are being, and that it's something that you can give. You don't have to give it forcefully or in a way that doesn't align with your own personal beliefs or who you, or how you want to be. You don't have to become this super masculine, power-hungry person to be influential.
Yeah. And I thought this too when you were talking, that women need to allow other women to be powerful. And, you know, because sometimes there's a little cutting down and we don't want to, you know, see someone else be powerful. We get in that competitive edge. And we could go on and on and talk about that. But I want you to give your website or any information before we close.
Okay. So my website is www.jigsawsolutionscoach.com. And
okay,
you can find
great.
Me on Facebook under Jigsaw Solutions.
Yeah. Fabulous. And just to also point out to everybody that Lisa will be giving a workshop on Sunday, February 14th. We'll be having things up on our website beginning in November where people can start to register. And thank you so much for being on the show today, Lisa.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to help other people become more positively influential.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, well, this is Chris Danis. You're listening to Voices of Women, and we're going to come back, and we're going to be talking with Jerry Ebba La Rosa Tunnel.
You got attitude? Keys to the rescue. Adjust your attitude with Keys Clear Protein Waters. So refreshing. Just a few sips of Keys will give you a whole new outlook, thanks to 22 grams of the happiest protein on earth. Tongue-tingling tasty without the guilt of naughty or nasty ingredients. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, maybe you need to drink too. Put a little
woo-hoo
in your attitude with Keys Protein Water. On Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and for a special broadcast the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis. And we started the show today talking about how to be influential, and now we're going to talk about being resilient with Jerry Ebba La Rosa Tunnel. Jerry is a certified trainer of the Institute of Heart Math's Resilience Advantage Program, a graduate of Antioch University's Masters of Whole Systems Design, and she's currently a doctoral student of Transformative Studies and Consciousness at the California Institute of Integrity Studies. And also she's going to be giving a workshop at Woman of Wisdom on Saturday, February 13th, and it's on the topic of resilience. So hi, Jerry, how are you today?
Hi, Chris, I'm doing great.
Okay, so I want you to tell us what inspired you to go into this work of around resilience and the heart math work.
Well, you know, it started off when my grandson was born. So he's 6 years old right now. And the day that he was born, I saw my son become a father. And it happened so simultaneously because at that very moment, he was also my baby. And so from there, I realized that, hey, wait a minute. There is something that needs to happen in this world. A lot of times, especially as a woman of color, there's been a lot of challenges in my life. And I realized that resilience was something that needed to happen in our world, and especially with me. You know, and it's the way I learned resilience. At first, I used to think, well, you know what? Resilience is just the ability to bounce back. And then I realized, wait a minute. There's got to be something more than that. It's not just bouncing back. How do I prepare myself for moments like this? So when I found the Institute of Heart Math, their idea of resilience is the capacity to prepare for, recover from, and adapt in the face of challenge and adversity. And at that point, I realized, okay, my path is calling me to go this way. And, you know, it's like one of the things that I really pay attention to is leading from the heart, is that when everything in my body is resonating and I can feel the power of it stabilizing right within my heart, I know that's the way to go. And I kind of lived my life that way for a very long time. And so that's when it was my grandson being born into this world and me knowing that there's something that I need to do to ensure that this world is a better place than when I grew up. And that's what started me on this journey, and it's been great so far. Challenging, but great.
That's good. Well, so you talked a little bit about it, but let's go into, you know, what resilience means.
Yes. So resilience, according to the Webster Dictionary, you know, it's the ability to bounce back, just to kind of recover from toughness. But the Institute of Heart Math and the way I live my life and the way I teach resilience is the capacity to prepare for. And so every single day when we walk out into, you know, we start a day in the morning, we sometimes fall into these patterns on where everything is going to happen the same way every single day. And we get stuck in this pattern. But life is not so linear. Life is not so predictable. Although we want it to be predictable, it's not. And when something happens along our predictability, we find ourselves spinning in a vortex of confusion and frustration where it can actually lead to some intolerance. And that is what causes people to, unfortunately, you know, there were two other shootings at schools, you know, today. And, you know, I don't know the story. I don't know what happened with, you know, what's going on. But we're finding ourselves so stressed out and so under so much pressure that we don't know how to survive or move through the strenuous things that life throws our way. And so that's when I talk about resilience, is how do we prepare for that? How do we prepare? And how do we adapt? Because a lot of times we have these knee-jerk reactions. For example, we could be driving in our car. Someone will cut us off. And what do? It's automatic for us to start honking the horns and, you know, cussing and swearing and just going absolutely crazy because of what happened. And so when we can take the time to pause, that moment to breathe, we can learn how to adapt within that challenge. Does that make sense?
Yes. So let's talk about you, how you have transformed your life through getting this resilience. You know, when you talk about this chaos, you know, or the overwhelm, you know, they talk about, you know, there's these shootings and we're faced with so much chaos and change and feel that overwhelm. So how do you personally transform your life?
I love that question, you know, because when I'm out there and I am actually speaking about this, I am responsible for the words that I say and for what I'm telling my audience. So I need to walk that path every single day of my life. And I have been through some challenges. In 2009, 2008, when things kind of like fell to the wayside and we went through a recession. My husband and I were living in Bellingham and we were running a 1-800-GOT-JUNK business, and it folded. Everybody stopped needing services. And so we found ourselves without a home, without a place to go. And so I had a couple of things that we could do at that time. I could hold on to everything that I had, or I could find the strength in between that chaos to let go. Now, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. We packed everything up in our house. We sold everything that we had. We took it over to the auction house, and we sold everything. And with whatever money we had, we took that money, and we bought ourselves a teardrop trailer. And we chose, we were intentional about it, to go on the road for 4 months to kind of ride this out. And so we technically were homeless. Now, for about, I don't know, 1,500 miles, 2,000 miles, I was holding on to everything that I owned back in Bellingham. My bike, we had these twin Schwinn 1966 bikes my husband had, a his and her bike. And I went to the auction house, and there was this woman that was looking at my bike, and she was like, ooh, this is a nice bike. And she starts tearing at my basket. I'm like, oh, my God, that's my basket. That's my bike. But then it was like, you know, I just let it go. And so for 1,500 miles, we're driving down the road, not knowing where our next stop's going to be. And my husband pulls up to the gate of Yosemite. Now, I've never been to Yosemite before, and I am complaining all the way. He looks at me, and he's like, Jerry, lift your head up. And I looked at him, like, easier for you to say, buddy, that was my bike. And he's like, no, seriously, look up. And I look up, and El Capitan is right in front of me. The sun was setting. It looked like it was on fire. It was the most beautiful thing that I've ever seen. In that moment, when I saw El Capitan, I was present. And for the first time in a long time, I was like, oh, whoa, this is what it means to be present. To let go of all of the materialistic things that I felt that I lost to gain this, that's when transformation happened for me. And, you know, Chris, during that time while we were on the road, I found out that I had kidney failure, that one of my kidneys were failing. And also I was in school. I was actually at a Washington State University at this time, just finishing up my undergrad. And so we were homeless. The doctor said that I needed to remove a kidney because it completely was completely atrophied, and I was trying to graduate as well, too. And all of these things were important to me. One, because my family, who came in from the Philippines to Hawaii, and has been there for 120 years in Hawaii, that I am the first generation to have higher education. The first generation out of 120 years. And so that was very, very important for me and for my family. And, you know, it's like everything was like a complete chaos for me. So I needed to choose. I needed to make a choice. Jerry, you can just throw the towel in and give up. Or you can figure out how to dance with ambiguity on how to just be here right now and let things go. And so even till today, I continue to choose to live that way, to dance with ambiguity, which is very difficult to do. And I had to do a lot of changes in the narratives that I have in my head on how to maintain my own resilience in the midst of all of this. And so it's something that's very important to me, you know, on resilience and grace and just being able to let go, having compassion and understanding that there is other people out there that are struggling as well too. And yes, I can talk about the struggles that I have, but I'm not struggling as much as that person or that mother who's bearing her child. I don't have that. But when I understand that we're all part of the greater whole and we affect each other by how we are and how we present ourselves and how we react to our emotions and everything, it's really important to know and understand and be able to walk resilience. And that's my story.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you've overcome. I mean, you that's that claiming the resilience, claiming that you could overcome this. And it took, you know, kind of like, you know, somebody stirring the pot of look up, you know, in your story. But and we're going to come back and talk more of some of the self-regulation tools that you share with people. So we'll talk about that and how people can build a resilience practice. So this is Christina from Voices of Women, and we're going to take a quick break and come back and continue a conversation with Jerry Ibilarosa Tanel.
Are you feeling broken from your relationships? Are you second-guessing yourself about friends, family, and lovers? Tune in to the hit show that's creating a buzz in the love-seeking community. Love Seeker Radio, finding love for your authentic self with renowned love coach Heather Lynn. Tired of dissatisfying relationships? Kiss them goodbye and power up your love seeker energy. Coach Heather Lynn reminds you that you can just be you, the beautiful and perfect you. Visit heatherlynncoaching.com to learn more.
The Women of Wisdom Fall Harvest Festival is coming up right around the corner on October 24th from 10:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. with free admission located at the North Seattle Community College in the Conference Center. Festivities include a silent auction, healers, educational booths, delicious food, and a variety of vendors. You won't want to miss this fun-filled event. For more information, visit womenofwisdom.org, and we'll see you there.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all, a healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. During the month of October, Dr. Darvish and the Holistic Medical Team are promoting Breast Cancer Awareness Month with 25% off breast thermography. Safe, painless, radiation-free, and accurate. Purchase your breast thermography screening for 25% off now until October 31st to receive this special. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm talking with Jerry Ibilarosa Tanel. So, Jerry, can you give your contact information or, you know, website where people can find out about your work and what you do?
Yes, absolutely. My website is www.co3consulting.net. And I'm also on Facebook as well, Co3 Consulting.
Okay, great. So we just sort of ended the last segment. We're talking about wanting to get into this self-regulation tool. So self, I assume that's meaning to help people get resilience. What are your self-regulation tools?
Well, there is a couple. So there's a few, I should say. So I'm not going to go through all of them. But the first one is what we call heart-focused breathing. And it's pretty much when you're focusing everything around your heart. So you bring your breath down to that space. And a lot of times when we see a child who is, you know, just absolutely frustrated or throwing a tantrum, we tell them, stop, just breathe. We tell people to just breathe. But in life, as things go on, we don't intentionally breathe. And so it's taking the time to actually be intentional about breathing. And, you know, the other one that you tie in with heart-focused breathing is bringing in some positive thoughts. We can look at things as if it is the only thing that's happening. If there's something in our life that is discouraging us, we believe that is all that there is. But there's multiple ways of looking at things. So when we're able to bring in these positive thoughts, kind of go around the issue, like walking around the elephant in the room and seeing, how can I change my idea about this? How can I change my thoughts? And so that's a couple of the self-regulation tools. And just, you know, it's like one of the things that I like to use too is I have this device and it's pretty awesome. It's called the N-Wave. And basically you put it onto your earlobe or on your finger and it measures your heart rate. And it can tell you whether you're incoherent or incoherent. And so it really depends on, you know, just bringing down the breath into the heart area and focusing on that area. So, you know, those are a couple of things that we have. And I know that you're also, there was another question that you had, Chris, and what was that?
Oh, how to build a resilience practice for yourself, I guess.
By being intentional.
Which, you know, you have those couple of tools, but if you were to really strengthen your resilience, how you go about that?
You have to be intentional. It takes intention to build anything. And, you know, one of them is just taking time to, and as I start to train people with this, I tell them right away, you're not going to get all the tools right. You are going to make mistakes about it, and it's okay. You're going to find yourself still falling apart, and that's fine too. It's human. The only thing that happens is that as things start to come about, you're able to roll with it a little bit more. You're able to take it in a little bit more, and it gets a little bit easier. Of course, every situation is different, but it's kind of how you balance in such a chaotic world. And so, you know, just focusing on your breath, focusing on your emotions. Because what happens is that when you have these negative emotions, there's a physiological effect that happens to your body. And we have a tendency to, when we get angry, cortisol is released into our bloodstream. And it's okay. Cortisol is fine because it's a fight or flight hormone. And we need that all the time. We're just going to be walking around just, you know, in la-la land. So we need to have that cortisol. But when we keep that cortisol at such a high level, then it can have such major effects. Like cortical inhibition starts to kick in. You're not able to think clearly. And so it all starts with the breath. And it all starts with focusing on the heart. And you focus a lot on the heart because what I believe is when a woman finds out that she's carrying life, the first thing that we see is a heartbeat. And so the heart is the first thing that is formed in the body. And so I feel, you know, it's like the thing that I talk about is that's pretty smart. The heart knows exactly what the rest of the body needs. We just need to bring it back there. And so, you know, it starts with the breath. It starts with the singularity of being in the center. And again, being intentional. And that's pretty much how you start a practice for resilience.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's that focus too. The focus, you know, to remember when you sort of get stressed out or you know, gets overwhelmed. Oh, what do I do? Oh, breathe. Go feel my heart.
Yes.
Go, you know, center myself. Ground. All those tools that help us deal with the overwhelm. So
exactly.
Another aspect of your workshop is about transformation and the collective transformation. So, what is it about that? What would that look like? And using resilience, how do we transform our collective consciousness?
It starts with the individual. And, you know, it's like I love Krishnamurti's, you know, quote that the only hope for humankind is in the transformation of the individual. And, the way I present it is we are all one part of the greater whole. Chief Seattle says what we do to the web, we do to ourselves. And we are all connected. One thing that I want to bring back to resilience and the breathing, the heart-focused breathing, is that the heart has an electromagnetic field that can be measured 20 feet away from the body. 20 feet away from the body. So whatever is being radiated from my heart, I'm affecting the next person that's standing next to me, and so forth and so forth and so forth. It's the same thing when you walk into a room and you see it feels tense. It's because it's the electromagnetic field that's there. And so when we can focus on that, then we're able to affect everything else around us. And so, you know, back to your question, you were talking about how to maintain the resilience. Is that what you were saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so just to maintain that is, you know, I mean, there's so much that you can do by just changing it. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but when you have depleting emotions or when you have the emotions of frustration and intolerance, it can cause such a toxic feeling that it reduces brain mass and brain cells and everything like that. And so, you know, when we can understand that where we stand as an individual, it can affect another person. And if we're able to have everyone be resilient, then there's the chance for collective transformation to happen. But it all starts with us. And when we're able to take that responsibility because we are part of this community that we live in, then we can change it. Then we can change it. And, you know, it's like I think Grace Lee, she, you know, one of her quotes, it says, you cannot change any society unless you take responsibility for it, unless you see yourself as belonging to it and responsible for changing it. So once we take the responsibility that we are part of this greater whole, that we are accountable to our actions to it, and that's how we have collective transformation.
Yeah, that's a great, you know, we do have to be accountable for ourselves. Well, it was great to talk with you today, and everybody, Jerry is giving a workshop on Sunday, February 14th. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Jerry.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Chris. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah, and so you can check out her website at www.co3consulting.net. It was great to talk with Jerry and Lisa Markman. They're both going to be presenters at our 24th year. It's February 11th to the 15th, 2016. And information will be up on our website beginning in November. We're just getting everything ready right now. We just got the program all settled. So we have right now a call for vendors and healers for our Fall Festival is October 24th. There's still room for booths. So if you know somebody that would love to share their art or their gifts at healing or like tarot reading, astrology readings, all that, go to our new website is www.thewowconference.org. There's information for Fall Festival. There's also, we have vendor applications for our conference in February for our marketplace and our temple applications for readers and healers at the conference. Those are up on our website too. Just look for thewowconference.org. And please check out my book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. It's a great inspirational, it's got a book of stories on the divine feminine from many people that have been part of WOW, the art and poetry, and you know, all the different aspects of the divine feminine in that book. And you can purchase at our website at womenofwisdom.org. And check out my personal website, chrysalisleadership.com. I work with women and unleashing the powerful leader within and creating circle leadership trainings for people. So it's time to close, and I hope everybody has a fabulous weekend. Next week, I'll be talking to more Women of Wisdom presenters, Christine Upchurch and Dawn Todd.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.